Well, it's good to see all of you here today. Pray the Lord's blessings on you as we get started. We're on a series called Why Church? And we've discussed several reasons why the church exists. One of the reasons the church exists is that we are the pillar and the foundation of truth. And if we don't speak truth, then there's not going to be truth shown. That was one of the things that the Lord has revealed or has explained to the church, that we are the ones who hold on to truth. Another reason we have the church is because it's the family of God. That's where the family of God comes together. We are, as a whole, the family of God. And so we give the Lord praise for that. We also are discussing this idea of why church. And one of the reasons the Lord has created the church is so that we can make disciples. So that's where we are today. And I mentioned a couple of weeks ago 10 markers of discipleship. And we're on marker number one. And we're going to really speed through this. Well, that was my intent. But I realized last week that I probably ought to slow down and address some issues that we need to address. The first marker of a discipleship is one who forgives all offenses. Let me just say this. I really appreciate you as a church last week when I asked you how many of you were holding offenses. Several of you raised your hands. I appreciate your transparency. Scripture says that confession is good for the soul. Scripture says, confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. So I appreciate you, congregation, just being honest with yourself, being honest with God, and being honest with me. That means a lot. But as I reflected on last week's message, I felt like probably we ought to address forgiveness again, but also talk about the power of forgiveness. The first time I was, I came to the realization of the power of forgiveness when I was in my 20s. I was a youth minister at the time, and I had been asked to go and speak at a retreat for youth. There were about 20 to 25 youth there, and I had spoken the night before, and I went up on the hill. I was serving a church in Southwest Portland. And I think the youth group was from Vancouver that I was ministering to. And that afternoon of the next day, I was sitting up on the hill, and I was studying and preparing for that night. And there was a young lady who came. And I saw her, and she started easing her way up the hill to where I was. And she asked me after she got there, after a long pause, I asked her, can I help you? She said, I was 14 years old, I had an abortion, and I have a lot of guilt and shame. And she went on to tell me the rest of the story. She said, my dad had been molesting me since I was really small, and it was his child. I was furious. I was hot. I was upset. I didn't know the guy, but I wanted to strangle him. Okay. I could tell she was hurting. And I didn't know what to do. And I'm listening to her, and I'm praying. And the thought comes in my head, tell her to forgive him. And I'm thinking, that cannot be from the Lord. And that's all would come to my mind. You know, one of the hardest things for me when I hear stories like that, and I've heard tons of them, is to tell a person you've got to forgive them. Because that's the last thing I want to do. But I also know that they're not going to receive any freedom until they do. And finally, I told this young lady, I said, are you willing to forgive your dad? And she said, yes. I mean, immediately, yes, I'm willing to forgive him. And I said, well, are you willing to ask the Lord to forgive you for having an abortion? And she said, yes, because she had a lot of guilt and shame. And so I led her in a prayer, and she forgave her dad. And she asked the Lord to forgive her for having an abortion. And there was a transformation that took place in that young lady's life. When she had approached me, she came with guilt and shame. She came with self-hatred. But after she prayed, there was so much joy in her heart. It was amazing. And she said, can I share this with the group tonight? Can I share this testimony? I said, sure. She said, there are 13 girls here and 12 of them have been molested. God did a miraculous thing. But it was only because this girl was willing to forgive. Again, it's very difficult. Sometimes I put myself in their place. And I say, can I forgive that offense? There's a fellow, some years ago, I had the opportunity to share with. He worked with my daughter at the Wave. And he said, I need to talk to someone. And she said, well, look, my dad's a pastor. Why don't you go talk to him? So he called me, I called him, or he called me, and anyway, I went to see him at his home. And he said, I'm filled with anger, I'm filled with hatred, I'm filled with bitterness because my daughter was dating this fellow, they were engaged, and he pulled a gun and he shot her in the head and killed her. She lived for several days, and I got to talk with her, and she told me, Dad, forgive him. Dad, forgive him. But he says, I'm not able to forgive. And so again, I'm putting myself in his place, and I'm like, I know I've got to say you need to forgive, but how do you tell a dad to forgive when somebody's murdered his daughter? Then I'm reminded that God had a son. And he was murdered. And Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Incredible. Incredible. And that's the same attitude that the Lord is asking us as disciples of children of God. If you want to be free, if you want to be set free, that's one of the first things you have to do is learn to forgive. Forgive every slight. Forgive every offense. Forgive everything. Even if it's gut-wrenching and heart-rending, then the Lord says, forgive. Last week, I handed out some worksheets. And before I go any further, if you did not get one of those worksheets, of a forgiveness worksheet, hold up your hand because You need to do some homework. Matt will be handing these out. And as he hands this out, that, you know, we think about these stories, and probably stories that you've heard too, and you think, man, they don't deserve forgiveness. They don't deserve grace. They deserve death and hell. And yet, isn't that what we all deserve? Now, here's the thing. Here's what my hope is, that you take these worksheets home and you begin to work on it. But here's what I know. The enemy's going to do everything he can to keep you from doing this. Okay? Because he likes to keep you in chains. He likes to keep you bound up. He likes to keep you stumbling in your Christian walk. He likes to keep you immature and ineffective. Okay? And so he's going to do everything he can in his power to hinder your work in this area. But if you are serious about your relationship with Christ, and if you are serious about following him, one of the things you have to do is forgive. Okay. So you take some time this week, whether you exchange this for your devotion time or whatever you do, you take some time, you ask the Lord if there's any offense in your heart, and if there is, you begin working through that. Okay? We will never accomplish what God wants us to accomplish unless we address these issues in our heart. Never will. We will always be ineffective. We will always be stumbling and wondering why things aren't going well for us. Why am I so miserable? There is power in forgiveness. There's tremendous blessings when we experience forgiveness. And when we truly forgive someone else from our heart. Did you know that walking in unforgiveness is a very serious sin? A lot of times we think, well, it's okay, but it's really not okay. We're going to go to some passages of Scripture and kind of help us to understand how serious this sin is. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 and 15, we're instructed, pursue peace with all men. Boy, that's a problem. Pursue peace with all men, and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. I'll come back to that passage. See to it that no one comes short of the glory of God, that no root of bitterness springing up in you causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. So here's some lessons we learn from this passage. The first lesson we learn is that every one of us are going to be offended. Okay? Offenses will occur. How many of you have never been offended before? Never. Never been offended. Yeah, offenses are going to come. Okay, that's just part of life. You will be hurt. You'll be heartbroken, perhaps, crushed in spirit. These things occur. Sometimes, depending on your situation, it may occur daily. I hope not. I hope that's the case, that you've kind of removed yourself from that. Because don't think that's God's plan for you, that you be in an abusive situation. The second thing is, when it happens, according to this passage of Scripture, God offers you grace to forgive. He says, fail not from the grace of God. And a lot of people take that phrase and say, well, you can lose your salvation. That's not what he's talking about. He's saying that what is happening is that God will give you grace to forgive, and you have an opportunity to receive His grace and forgive, or you can reject His grace and walk in anger, bitterness, and resentment. And if you don't receive His grace and forgive at the moment, you will walk in anger, bitterness, and resentment. Okay? Somebody asked me one time, Pastor Brad, how long does it take from anger to turn to bitterness? One day. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Son. Don't let the sun. What did I say? Don't let the sun go down on your anger. I'm glad you knew that verse. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Make things right before you go to bed. And somebody told me one time, well, if that were the case, we would never go to bed. We just stay up. It's best to have those kind of discussions when you're rested. That's another topic. It's important that we not allow the root of bitterness to afflict us and affect us. Because we can either accept His grace or reject His grace. And if we reject it, what happens is that not only our relationship with the Lord, problems with that, there's also problems with other people in those relationships as well. Because here's the thing, if you carry anger, bitterness, and resentment toward, let's just say, our president. Let's just say you're watching the news. Yeah. And you get all passionate and upset and hot and heated. You're going to take that out on someone. Okay? So, sometimes you just need to back off. Let the Holy Spirit do His work. Trust the Lord in it all. In verse 14, it talks about a sanctification. Pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. Now, sanctification is a cleansing of the flesh and of the spirit. Okay? That's what sanctification is. Hebrews 12:14 is a cleansing of the flesh and of the spirit. And I want to talk, and this is our hard passage, because if you don't do this, you're not going to see the Lord. And again, we look at a portion of the Lord's Prayer, and it says, and we referred to this last week, Matthew 6:14, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. So I need to ask you a question. Can anyone get into heaven if they are not forgiven? If you don't forgive, God will not forgive you. So can anyone get into heaven's gates unless they have forgiven? Forgiven. Unless God has forgiven them. Let me take another passage of scripture. See, these kind of scripture kind of boggle my mind sometimes. Another passage of scripture, you know it well, Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So what if you're not pure in heart? What if you haven't done the sanctification work? What if you're not cleansed? What then? Will you see God? According to this passage of Scripture and the others we just read, will you see God if you have unforgiveness in your heart? That's what I understand Scripture to say. These are hard passages. Here's what this is what I'll tell you. If you are a child of God, He will bring you to a place where you will forgive. I guarantee you. You may not like it, but you will have to go through some trials. You'll have to go through some tribulations. You'll have to go through situations that, can I give you a theory? I have been at the bedside of many people who are dying. Some of you have as well. You work in the health industry. And sometimes those even Christians are dying, and they have a long struggle in death. It's kind of like, Lord, why don't you just take them? You know? It's kind of like, man, what are you doing? And oftentimes those people have what we think are hallucinations, and they see people that long past that come into their room, and they start talking to these people. And I'm wondering, are they getting their heart fixed? Are they getting their heart cleansed? The Lord's not going to allow them to get into heaven's gates without their heart being cleansed. Is this the way? Is this a gift from the Lord rather than a punishment? Is it a gift from the Lord so that they can get their heart cleansed? You know, I believe it is. I believe it is with all of my heart. And so all I'm saying is, why go through that when you can do it now? Right? I also believe that Scripture says that we all must stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account. And a lot of people say, well, that's where we get our rewards. And I believe that. But what if we get to not only give an account of the things that we've done right, but what if the things that we are still harboring in our heart has to be addressed? What if that's what the judgment seat of Christ is? I think about these things because that's the only way I can understand some of these passages, that somehow, some way, God's going to make it so that His children can do the heart work. And we get to choose when we're going to do it. Okay? That's our choice. I'm not trying to frighten you, I guess, maybe just warn you. Maybe frighten you. I'm not trying to do that. But I just want your heart to be right. I just want you to have a heart, pure heart. And disciples of Christ purify their hearts. So, what is forgiveness? Forgiveness is a matter of trusting God. We trust the God. We trust God with the person. Scripture says in Romans 12, 19, vengeance is mine, I will repay, thus says the Lord. And a lot of times we hold on to resentment, bitterness, anger, and we want payback, right? We want to put our place into God's in God's place, and we want to make something happen to these individuals so that they get payback. And if we're allowed to do it, I want to be the one to pay back. Okay? As Scripture says, trust Him into God's hands. Let God do whatever He wants to do. Can you do that? Can you trust that person whom you have ought against into the hands of the Lord? Can you do that? And can you let God be God in this matter? Vengeance is mine, I will repay, thus says the Lord. Another thing we need to do is we need to trust the situation into the Lord's hands. We need to trust the outcome of whatever it may be into the hands of the Lord. you know, again, I've heard some horrible stories and a lot of injustices being done. And because of the injustices, some people think I cannot fulfill God's plan for my life because of the injustice that's been done to me. So let me tell you something. God still has a plan for your life. It may not be the plan you thought was your plan. But all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. That's Romans 8, 28. All things, say all things. Now, is that most things? Is that some things? And either God's word is true, and we can trust Him with the outcome, or it's not. And I'm just going to say this. You have to trust, as hard as it may be, you have to trust the Lord with the outcome of the offense. I will also say that the offense was not God's plan for your life. Okay? Whatever it was, the horror that you've lived through, the trauma that you've experienced, that was not God's will for your life. Some things happen outside of God's will. Just like this 14-year-old girl. Some things happen outside God's will in your life, and you have to trust Him that He's going to work it out. He's going to work it out. And that's a hard thing to do. So it's something that you have to just, every day, you're going to have to say to yourself, and you're going to have to remind God, and you know, He don't have to be reminded, but it's kind of like, I remember You saying this, Lord, that You're going to work this out for my good. Because I love You. Because You've called me for Your purpose. I know that You're going to work this out for my good. I don't understand it. I don't understand how. But I know that I know that I know that You are not a liar. So I'm going to trust You with the offense. I'm going to trust You with the situation. I'm going to trust You with the problem. I'm going to trust You with the person. So forgiveness is a matter of trusting God. So let me ask you, do you really trust God in this matter? Second thing, forgiveness must be administered whether you understand the why. Why? A lot of people's, why did this happen to me? I don't understand it. I wish God would just let me know. You may never know this side of heaven why that happened to you. And God may not explain it to you on the other side of heaven. Maybe not. Maybe not care. Probably won't care on the other side. But if you have to wait till you understand the why to forgive, you have put yourself in a box that keeps you from experiencing the freedom and the joy of the transformative life through forgiveness. So don't wait till you have to understand why. A third thing, forgiveness is a choice. It's not dependent upon your feelings. Some people say, well, I just don't feel like it. Well, you're probably never going to feel like it. Nobody feels like, but sometimes we just have to be obedient because that's what the Lord tells us to do. Okay, so it's an action of our will, not an action of our feelings. Forgiveness is a choice. You can choose out of your will to forgive whether you feel like it or not. This is a God thing. It's not a feeling, an emotional thing. This is a God thing. And if you do your part, God will do His part. You release them and God will release you. The fourth thing, forgiveness and trust are two separate things as it relates to the individual who has offended you. Some think that if I forgive them, then I have to trust them. That's not the case. Forgiveness is a gift. Trust has to be earned. Right? So I can trust you to do what you've always done until you prove to me differently. So trust has to be earned. Now I was visiting with a husband and wife, and they had some major problems. And the husband had broken some trust. Really difficult thing. And I met with them for several weeks, and then one day the wife comes in, the husband and wife, and she says this: the Lord told me I could trust him. Oh, okay. So she began trusting him because the Lord told her. Sometimes you just listen to the Lord and you do what the Lord tells you, even though inside you're saying, he keeps doing this. When the Lord says trust, then you need to trust. Be obedient to him, not obedient to your feelings. Okay? So we need to be cautious that we, in all our ways, we're obedient to what the Lord is telling us, not what our feelings are telling us. Trust is earned over time. The fifth thing is, forgiveness is not releasing them from criminal law. If they have done something that violates the law, then forgiveness does not release them from that. I asked that 14-year-old lady. I said, where is your dad now? And she said, in the penitentiary. And I said, good. That's where he needs to be. Because if he will do that to her, how many others would he do it to? Okay. Now, so forgiveness is something that is between us and the Lord, us and them, but the criminal system, the justice system, needs to do their work to follow up with what everything needs to be done. So here's another aspect we find in Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 48. So forgiveness is one thing. Praying for, blessing, and doing good to those who did evil to us is another thing entirely. Matthew 5, 43 through 48. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. You remember the story of Job? Do you remember his wonderful friends that came and was trying to console him and encourage him? He didn't have friends like that. His friends were trying to stab him and demean him and make him feel horrible, and Job was like, I don't know what I've done. And they kept accusing him of things. And at the end of the book, God says to Job, pray for your friends. Pray for your friends. And when Job prayed for these individuals who spitefully used him, Job began to prosper. And the Lord blessed him. Isn't that amazing? He set Job free. I'm just encouraging you, church, Christ lives in you. And if you are having a very difficult time forgiving someone, here's what I do. I say, Lord, would you give me the grace to forgive? And you think, you know what God says? Yes. He doesn't say, no, I'm not going to give you the grace to forgive. No, I'm going to withhold that. And I encourage others, if you're struggling with forgiveness, because there are some deep heart issues, some deep wounds, some heartbreaking situations that may have occurred to each of you. And maybe you're stuck and you can't get past that. Would you just ask the Lord, Lord, would you give me the grace right now to forgive? Now, here's the deal. He's going to give it to you. But then you have to figure out what you're going to do with it. Okay? He hurts with you. He hurts for you. He loves you. He wants to set you free. He wants to forgive you. But sometimes we are the problem and the reason why we feel unforgiven. So did you understand the message? Okay. Are you going to put it into practice? Okay. It's a delight for me to be your pastor. Because I see people taking the steps necessary to get closer to the Lord. And it's a tremendous delight for me. Thank you for letting me share with you. You know, thank you, Sandy. But I truly feel like, you remember when Paul says, I'm the least? I look at all the other pastors around and I feel like I'm the least. But I appreciate your words of encouragement. Thank you, Sandy. First John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And when you go before the Lord and you confess, Lord, I have hatred, I have anger, I have bitterness in my heart, and I'm so very sorry. Please forgive me. Guess what God will do? He will forgive you. His grace is a big thing. God wants to give it to you. But if you look on that sheet I handed out, there is a phrase at the bottom of the prayer that says, Dear Lord Jesus, please heal the wounds of my heart that Frank inflicted upon me, or whoever it may be. Did you know that anger will continue to rise because of the wounds of your heart? And it's only when those wounds are healed will anger no longer have a hold on you. And the only way that you're going to get healed from the wounds of the heart is to ask Jesus to heal you. Okay? Jesus said, I came, first message he spoke, I came to heal the brokenhearted. Okay? But he also says, you have not because you ask not. So if you have a broken heart, say, Jesus, I have a broken heart. And this is the reason why. And I forgive that person and name them by name for breaking my heart when, be specific, I release them. And Lord, would you heal the wounds of my heart? Now, here's what happens oftentimes when I pray that or others, I lead others to pray. Lord, would you heal the wounds of my heart? Oftentimes he'll say, well, first address this issue. Okay, Lord, address that. Lord, would you heal the wounds of my heart? Oh, address that issue. And so it could be a process. It will be a process. But you'll begin to feel lighter. You'll begin to feel healed. Church, I love you. And I want you to walk in freedom. If you're here today without Christ, God wants to forgive you too. If you're here today walking in sin and walking in shame and walking in guilt, it doesn't matter who you are or what you've done, God wants to forgive you. But we have to confess our sins and we have to receive Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. Father, I come before you. And Lord, I just thank you so much for this church. I thank you for the encouragement they bring. I thank you for your love for each of us. And God, you want to take whatever's happened and bring good out of it. But Lord, we have to trust you. And Lord, I just ask right now that you would do the work that's necessary in the hearts and in the lives of those who you have pricked their heart today. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.